In any life, we have highs and lows, light and dark, wins and losses. What happens when we encounter that moment in time when what happens next could change everything? Join us as we step into another person's inspirational moment and see how we can connect their experience to ours. This is Greg Stevens, and you're listening to A Shot of Inspiration. Hello, everyone. I'm Greg Stevens, and welcome to another episode of A Shot of Inspiration. Today, I have a new friend. Her name is Millie Tambo. And how Millie and I actually met was outside the lines. I have a business partner currently, and she was doing a LinkedIn reach out program for me to connect with some people. And several people said they would meet with me, but Millie was the only one who showed up. And we sat down and started talking, and I just fell in love with her. She's an amazing person. She's got a nonprofit called Confidence Elevates that began in Kenya, but it's going throughout the world. We have a common friend of ours, Coach Val Rhodes, who, if you haven't seen his podcast, you'll see it in the days to come, or you might have already seen it. But Coach Rhodes was my mentor starting at 15 years old in coach. And so I've known Coach Rhodes my entire life, and it was funny getting to talk to Coach Rhodes about Millie. And so, Millie, thank you for being on the show. Glad to have you here.
I am humbled, and I'm honored to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Thank you so much. So tell us a little about yourself. You came to the United States from Kenya. Tell us a little about your background, your life, how you made it to the States, how you work in education now that you're a coach, and the different paths you've taken. I think you were at SMU doing some things as well, and that's when you came to Dallas. Walk us through your journey about how you got to where you are today with your nonprofit.
Thank you so much. My name is Millie, just like you said, and I'm a passionate, consummate learner. I came to the United States several years ago, like maybe 1998, really. And what really brought me to the United States was just, I wrote a poem, something that I had never shared. I wrote a poem about world peace. And it was a conference in Washington, D.C. And my aunt was like, you know what? I think you're in the right country so that you can continue to pursue your education. And I was like, I am so tired of being a foreigner. Because I had been in India, and I was like, but she said, you know what, you're in the right country, that, you know, in the United States and everything. She said, you have a chance of becoming more than you can ever think of. And she was right. My aunt lives in DC. She works for the World Bank, and she's been a mentor to me in my life. There's so much that I need to do. And so as I started, you know, looking at different places and all that, I met my husband. We moved to Dallas. And so when we moved to Dallas and, so just started working. Actually, I never thought I would be a teacher. So my life is twists and turns and everything. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to study. So I studied for LSAT, wanted to go to law school. And then I started serving in a school in Houston. And the principal there said, I think you have something in you. And I thought, what do you mean? And as I started serving, she said, you have something in you. So when we moved to Dallas, we were in Houston. Moved to Dallas, I met a friend who said, there is a friend who needs help. Her school is doing so bad. And I know you're so good in, because I was doing private tutoring for students for math. Mm-hmm. He said, I think you have a gift that you can help this school. They're really doing bad. And the state of Texas is really on her neck, and they're about to be closed. And so I went in again, like a volunteer. I didn't want to sign up to be a teacher. That was, again, I've been running away from some of these things. And so I started working there as a substitute just because I wanted not to be committed to the process. And then one of the teachers quit, and the school had just started. She said, please, just help me until Thanksgiving. I said, okay. And the rest is history. I became a full-time teacher. I worked so hard, and I really learned so much about our students. And I realized that there was just something that was missing in their lives. And it was just the love, the empathy, the compassion. And math being such a subject that's so analytical, if you don't have people encourage you, you're going to miss it. So most of my students were like, I'll never know math. I'm not going to do it. And this being a Title III school, like a Title I school, most people believe those kids, it was an at-risk school. And in that kind of school, these kids have lost hope. And as I began working with these kids, I realized that if I can just chunk the concepts into bite sizes, these kids are going to be. And I told them in my class, you can just do one thing at a day. What they didn't know is that concept would be broken into five. So by the time Friday came, guess what? My kids knew five good and they were confident. And I told them, if you know something, you have to explain it and you have to own it. And then you have to show me the practical ways that you're going to do it. And before we know it, the kids loved it. The teacher said, the principal came to me and said, I really feel that you need to go to the central office because I really want you to be the teacher of record. And I said, remember my deal, we were only supposed to be. And so I just yielded and did it and became the teacher of the year two times. And then the central office invited me to go and train other teachers. I was invited to speak in Austin. I've been invited to speak in other conferences on what was I doing that was so different. At a time that the state of Texas, the math scores were going down, my class was going up. It was just because of that confidence built in these kids. And believing in them and helping them change the trajectory of their lives. And I used to tell them that you can break the cycle of poverty. You're lucky you're born in this country. I came in this country and so it changed the mindset. I can tell you, I have so many kids who went to college, ended up going to college. They never thought they would go to college. They never thought they would break that ice. And so when I was invited after losing my mom to pancreatic cancer, and I was invited to speak, and I could see the same gaps in these kids in Kenya. And I was thinking, so this concept of confidence elevating people really is a global concept, because the same things we were doing, the kids are the same things that I was doing. And I was like, oh no, I don't think I want to do another thing. But that time I met Dr. Pavin at SMU, and she was a consultant in our organization there. And she said, you have something in you. And again, I was like, not again. And so I ended up just thinking about the name and then having friends who helped me just develop this organization that's called Confidence Elevates, whereby our mission is to develop competent and confident leaders who are self-aware. Yes.
I love that. As you were talking about how you turned some things at the school around, three things really popped out to me just now. Mm-hmm. You stated simplicity. Make it simple for them. Make it so they can actually see some progress rather than this big thing. Also, I think what you said was hope. Give them hope, because hope, when we have hope, it covers a lot of area. If we don't have hope in an area, why bother? And the other thing was, I believe you made connections in two ways. First, I believe you did it personally. And then you showed them how to connect math with what matters in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard that out of that. How does that kind of line up with some of the things you try to teach with the Confidence Elevate?
Yes. Again, in Kenya, you think about third world countries. You sometimes think, and most of the kids that are in Confidence Elevates, they're from very poor neighborhoods or poor background. And the same concept that I was teaching in a Title I school, same kind of concept. So here you think, oh my goodness, there's no hope. I'm born in this neighborhood. I could never be anything. But when you bring that hope, when you make people see a different outlook, when you start making them believe in themselves, you see that light come in. And so it's no longer about I'm born here or I can't do this. It's about, wow, someone believes in me. There's a light that shines that if only I can persist, like if only I can follow through, I can do it. And they see me and they're like, wow, if you can do it, then I can do it. And then our stories really matter. I always say nothing drives the human brain like just the power of sharing your story. Yeah. And sometimes we don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe that our stories are able to make a difference. We keep it inside, and yet we're supposed to share and help other people see that light and see that hope.
Right. Let me ask, how do you personally infuse hope when you go into an area that it does seem hopeless to kids? How do you infuse? What's your ingredient for that?
What's my ingredient? I feel like every time I am put in a place where I have kids, first of all, to never forget the journey that I went through. connect in an individual way. When you go somewhere, like even when you go and work with kids, you have to, first of all, hear their stories. Hey, how are you doing? And mean it. Sometimes you can say, how are you doing? And you're growing up. We're going to talk about equations today. When I was going around the state of Texas, we had schools in Austin, San Antonio, Houston, whatever. And I would go into a room and I could just say, hey, I used to like sitting in the back because I know that the teacher's not going to find me. They're not going to know what I need. And so I would start just connecting those kids. Like, how are you really doing? And they're like, why are you saying hi to me? Because you have to connect in an individual way first. People are not going to care what you know. These kids are not going to care what you know until they know you care. And I think that compassion piece is what's missing. Sometimes I used to still go to schools and I would be like, wow, I know you are a great teacher. I love teachers because of my family. And I think, have you thought about doing it differently? And so I would just share my videos when I was teaching, or I would coach a teacher and I'll say, how about, let's think about this. What do you think? And they would say, yes. And immediately they're like, what did you do differently? It's just that compassion, that hope, that believing in people. And it needs to be authentic. It's yeah. One thing to say you believe in people and then you're not showing. Our actions and words have to be aligned so that people can really believe in the message that we're trying to push. So you can tell kids like math is doable, but you're not helping them. You're not breaking it into simple ways where they can really, because remember the brain cannot handle so much. Right. So if you make it in a way that I'm interested in it, we can break that barriers. And I would tell them, look at the statistics of all these jobs where you need math. And then you're telling me you can't do it. Why? You've been given the same brain. You cannot do it. And they'll be like, yeah, I think I can do it. I say, so I had fun teaching the young people who believed that they were not able to. And they would tell me, but my teacher in sixth grade told me I can do it. And I was like, no, let's change that mindset. Wow. Let's change that. And so even when we used to do like math nights, we'd invite the parents. Because a lot of our parents also had that. You'd hear adults say, I'm not good in math. And so we'd invite the parents. And guess what we would do? We let the students teach their parents. So oh, they make good. That connection. Yes.
When you teach it, you learn it twice. Yes. Good part.
Yeah.
So what I heard was also you're helping students get over their self-doubt. As you began this, did you have to confront any self-doubt yourself?
Yes. I had to confront my self-doubt. Yeah. Growing up in Kenya, I remember most of the time the girls in the society, they're told that we cannot do math. We cannot do all these technical subjects. And I believed it for a long time. I did believe it. I would be given homework for math and I would just tears roll down because I just didn't want to do it. I didn't believe in it. But I found one of my professors in India, Professor Ravi Gandhi, and she was amazing. She said, you can do it. She helped me change my mindset. So it took someone else from another country to tell me, you can do it, and started making me believe, like, just do one thing, and I would just do it, and she would celebrate that. Yeah. And so I started making connections like, wow, we're not celebrating people enough for the efforts they make. We're not giving them that support and motivation that they need to do. And so as I started doing well, I realized, my goodness, so when I came here, I found some kids, like, I can't, I'm Misty, I'm not going to college, I'm not. And I was like, no, you need this basic stuff because so many other things. Even if you're not going to college, which I believe you can, and I know we can talk about other options for you, we can do this. We can do it. So I used to tell them that when the Texas Education Agency is looking at their papers, I used to tell them, they're going to look and see how you've shown your steps. I don't want you just to make an A or B. I want you to make them believe that you got it. And so my kids would be like, did you see my work? I was like, I can't, because that's your test. I said, the TEA is about to see it. Make them believe that even though you're living in this neighborhood, you have the same skill sets, you have the same brain, you can do it. So I remember when the scores came first and my principal came running and saying, see, guess what your kids did? And I said, tell me they all passed. And she said, how did you know? And I think we had missed 3 or 4 who were not coming to school, but a lot of my students passed. And you could see the joy in the school because remember, this was a school that was on the verge of being closing because they were performing poorly. But here was, and I really thank God for all that, because it's just believing in people and helping them know that there's nothing they cannot achieve, but helping them. You have to help and support, motivate, inspire, not just talking. I think talking is good, but we have to do more than just talk. So I think I even went ahead and I had tutoring at 7. School started at 7:30, but I had 7 to 7:30 tutoring time, and then from 4:30 to 6. So.
Yeah. That's amazing. And what I love is you've actually gone out and done what someone did for you. Your teacher in India, you've just duplicated that in many ways with your own personality and your own connection with other kids. I love that because the world is tough and it's tougher on some people than others and different incomes, lower incomes, and just different mindsets about the world. And let's talk about that a little. The global mindset and awareness we need to have about building confidence for people and kids around the world, that's something that I know burns bright for you. Tell us a little more why that's so important.
It's so important for me because having gone through it and then now going back to Kenya and connecting with these young people, I felt that, oh my goodness, these are university students, because I really was mostly working with high school students. But now I was talking to university students and I thought, if these are students in the university at a higher level of education, but have no practicality on what they're studying, how is that going to be applied and translated into the world? So I felt that there was a disconnect. I felt like here we are preparing kids and we are having all these books and all these theories to read, but they were not applying. They didn't know how to apply. And I would say, so tell me about what you're studying. How are you going to apply this in the world? And they would just look at me, quiet. And I realized it was not their fault. But then I was like, okay, who's the advisor? What's the government doing? What's the government of Kenya doing? And I kept on just, oh my goodness, somebody needs to help them. I never thought of myself being that person who's going to create, start off an organization that's, I felt like that was not my job and ran away from it for a while. And then my friends was like, and then I thought about, well, I can just do a 1-year conference and information. Okay, this is what you can do. But then the more I reflected about it, I felt like when someone is teaching you something and they don't give you opportunity to share the learning and give them kind of a concrete methodology to do it. So I, just with the help of people, I asked a few of my friends who volunteer with me. And every July, we do a conference in Kenya. And we do, the first conference was about the power of imagination, visualizing where you want to go. What do you need to do? How can you do it? How can you hold yourself and how can the community? So we did that and it was like, and I look at the video when we did in 2018, I'm just like, wow, didn't know anything, but it was just a good start. And so then 2019, we did something about growth mindset and really talk about the global mindset. Think about that you're in Kenya. It doesn't mean that you're only going to relate with people in Kenya. Think about being a global citizen. And I was, honestly speaking, that conference really helped so many of our students. And we have businesses that were formed out of that. Students did more than just listen. And so we started working about self-awareness. And what does that mean into emotional intelligence? How do you regulate emotions? How do you listen to other people? So helping them coach, because I was doing coaching. And so it was easy to translate that. And then 2020 came. And here we are, shut down. Luckily enough, we could do global meets and Google Meet and be virtual. And we've started our weekly check-ins just for mental health and all that stuff because people were going through a lot. Nobody knew about anything. When COVID hit, we were online every Saturday for 2 good hours, just talking, connecting, developing habits. Now, every year in July, we do a conference in Kenya. And now this whole 6 months, we've been talking about just self-management, self-talk. Mm-hmm. How does that help people? When we know ourselves, what's the power of reflection? So that's one thing that we've instilled. I've developed a curriculum whereby they go through questions and they answer every month and kind of self-reflect their journey. And you can tell, so like, wow, I was able to manage my emotions this way after I reflected about this. And I was able to go and speak at this conference. So these are kids who could not speak.
Yeah.
Could not share their learning. And now when they get a job globally, they can do on computer, they're like, can you imagine I'm working globally? Never thought about what we said in 2019, that we're going to be global citizens.
Right.
Please know, but see how that worked out. And so when we talk about competent in the essay, you have to be competent thinking about what are you going to give back to the world?
Yeah.
What is the gift that you have within you? Because everybody is gifted in something. It's up to us. And that's why I really enjoy unlocking potential, having coaching conversations whereby that insight comes in and we are able to explore further and people become better selves, better versions, yes.
Well, I love that because it is realization when you apply all of this, because I love it when you said people speak up because they didn't have the emotional fortitude to be able to do that before. Then they learn to manage their emotions. It's such a key piece in being able to have that confidence. Otherwise, you're overwhelmed with anxiety. You're overwhelmed with things that run around in here in your head. And those are powerful things, as you know. They really are. So, what we tell ourselves, that negative self-talk, that little voice in our head is a liar. And we just listen to it too often sometimes.
We do. We do. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. It's so good to be able to do that. So, Millie, how can people get a hold of you or actually give to your organization? What would be the best way for people to get involved?
I've been always saying we are welcoming any mentors to come and help
mentors,
us. Because,
okay.
Again, we believe that people have different gifts. So any mentor who wants to come and help us, we're more than glad to come and join us. And also you can find me on LinkedIn, and we have a website which is being developed, having been in school and all this. I don't think we've done so much work, but we're working on our website. It's there. I think mentors are more than welcome. And if you want to travel with us to Kenya in July and be in our conference, more than welcome. We always do it the third week of July every year. And it's really been just people donating and buying tickets for our students to join, because most of our students are not able to afford all that. And it's been a really life-changing experience every time we go. And now these are young kids. Young people could not talk, but now they can talk. We have young men who is even doing psychology. We call him Mr. Self-Awareness, speaking on mental health. We have people who are talking about growth mindset and showing how they've applied it in their own lives. We see young people who are now talking about the power of story, like telling your story, authentic story, and how that changes. And then we have people who are thriving in online jobs who didn't ever think of working online and making all this. So we have a lot of powerful stories that have emerged from just taking that step, that bold action of, I'm going to do this. I don't know how it's going to, but here it is. And we're just getting started.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. So folks, I encourage you, look up Millie Tambo, T-A-M-B-O, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, Confidence Elevates. If you want to be a mentor, you want to give to help them with the costs that they have, please reach out. And Millie, it is great to have you on the show. It's also great to have a new friend that I truly believe in, someone who actually is in alignment with their soul. And I love what you're doing out there. And I hope we can help you somewhat, but I also want to make sure that this doesn't end here. So
thank you
for being on the show. And everyone, thank you for listening to another episode of A Shot of Inspiration. I'm Greg Stevens, your host. And if you could like and subscribe, it may help us a little. But with that, I want to say thank you. And I will see you next time on A Shot of Inspiration. Be bold, be courageous, and respectfully speak your truth. Thanks, Millie. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. It was nice.
Bye-bye. Yeah,
thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of A Shot of Inspiration. If you like this or any of our other episodes, make sure you rate it and share it with a friend. This is Greg Stevens, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, be bold, be courageous, and respectfully speak your truth.